invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 10. Tonight we will look at an account that is very familiar to us. It's rich to read. It's one that we've heard many, many times. It's dealing with Bartimaeus, the blind man, that we often refer to just simply as blind Bartimaeus. Begins in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Well, again, very familiar passage, blind Bartimaeus, a man whose eyes were opened, his blindness was cured. But most importantly, not only was his physical blindness healed, but he was healed of his spiritual blindness as well. Now, as we saw in the previous verses, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's the time of the Passover, and of course we know that he's going to Jerusalem to lay down his life for his people. So he's traveling to Jerusalem. He's made it as far as Jericho. And this account before us tonight takes place as they are leaving Jericho. It says, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And so he's leaving Jericho, and blind Bartimaeus begins to beseech him to heal him. Now, these verses have been rather troublesome for those who try to reconcile the three synoptic gospels. Troublesome because the accounts do not seem to agree. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Obviously, Mark here in chapter 10. It's in Matthew 20, 29 through 34, and Luke 18, 35 through 43. Mark records that they met Bartimaeus as they were leaving Jericho. Luke records that it occurred while they were arriving in Jericho. Mark and Luke both tell us that there was only one blind man. Matthew reports that there were two. Matthew 20, verse 30 says, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Only Mark identifies him as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Only Mark and Luke describe the blind man as a beggar, and only Mark and Luke connect the blind man's healing to his faith. So there are many differences going on here. Now, of course, these things are not really problematic for us unless you're seeking to undermine Scripture. If you approach Scripture with unbelief, then you will find many causes to continue in your unbelief. But just speaking of reconciling these differences, neither Mark nor Luke tell us that Jesus restored the sight of only one blind man. Mark simply and Luke merely choose to point out this one. It doesn't say that blind Bartimaeus was by himself. It doesn't say that there were not two. But Mark chooses to focus on the one. It'd be like if I met two of you at Walmart, and I come home, and, of course, one of you tells me something that went on, and I come home and tell my wife, I saw so-and-so in Walmart, and they told me this and this, and I might not even mention that I actually saw two of you there. And so neither Mark nor Luke say that there was only Bartimaeus. We don't know why Mark and Luke chose to mention the one while not mentioning the other, but Mark chooses to focus on the one. And as to whether it took place when they were arriving or when they were leaving, there's no clear answer to that. But we do know this. This is the Word of God, and it is absolute truth. And if an explanation is not fully known, we trust the answer to God. And that's always the case. If there are things that are in the secret mind of God that He does not choose to reveal, and we trust Him in these things. And so we find this man, Bartimaeus, and he comes seeking Christ. Now, this is the second time in this chapter that a man comes seeking Christ. The first one was a rich man, a young man, an influential man, a rich young ruler. He comes seeking Christ, and he goes away unchanged. He continues in his spiritual poverty, to which Jesus says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" The second, of course, is a blind beggar, and he becomes a follower of Christ. So, although Matthew records that there were two men, tonight we will focus on one. One by name, blind Bartimaeus. Now, I want us to see several things about him, because Bartimaeus is an excellent example. He serves as a type for us of what takes place when God saves a sinner. He was a blind man. He was a beggar. He had a need. He came beseeching Christ. Christ heals him, and he becomes a follower of Christ. These things are wonderful to consider. So first of all, we need to consider his wretched condition. He was blind. It was a physical infirmity. He lived in a world of darkness. He groped around, not knowing where he was going, not able to see what he was coming upon. He was blind. But far worse than this, he was born into spiritual darkness. He shared the same infirmity with every other human being. Spiritual blindness. We are born blind to the glories of our Creator. We're born blind to the purpose of our creation. We're born blind to our lost condition and our terrible need of a Redeemer. The masses of human beings that are walking upon the earth, we bump elbows with them every day. They are absolutely blind to the reality of their lost condition. They go about their lives presuming that this is all there is, blind to the reality of eternity, blind to the reality that they will stand before the living God to give account. They are blind to these things. That's the reason they go through life without trembling, without crying out in grief. They are blind to their condition. And they are blind to the excellence of a life restored unto their Creator. Just how glorious their life could possibly be if once again they were restored to the condition of their Creator, or the condition of their creation that was lost with the fall. And they're blind to any solution to do anything about it. Absolutely blind. The gospel comes to blind sinners, and God's transforming grace gives them sight. Wonderful passages like Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. Of course, Paul spoke of it too in Acts 26, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Well, he was a blind man. Second of all, though, he was a beggar. Now, like the rich young ruler, all human beings find it quite easy to reject Christ because they are comfortable with their life. The rich young ruler had no need for Christ because he was content in his earthly condition. He was content with his idols and blind to the foolishness of them. And ultimately, Jesus says few rich people will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 23 of Mark 10, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This is the problem with most Americans, by the way. We are incredibly rich. We have so much to enjoy, so much to feast our eyes upon, so much to distract us from our need for Christ. So many gadgets. We have iPods and iPads, and we have, you can just go on and on and on with all the gadgetry that fill the marketplace today. And they keep coming out with something new every day. It's unbelievable how many things are available, and they are not cheap. But all Americans find a way to obtain them. They love them. They want them. And these are the very things that keep them from Christ. Well, on the day of judgment, they will be stripped of all that they have. I had a homeless man come to the door the other day, and first he tried to tell me that there's no scientific evidence for the existence of God, and we discussed that. And then he said, well, I'll tell you, the all-American dollar, that is all you need to have a rich and fulfilling life. And I asked him, I said, have you ever heard of Steve Jobs? And he said, no. That kind of surprised me. And I said, well, have you ever heard of Apple, iPod, iPhone? He invented these things, or at least his company did. And he was wealthy beyond belief. One of the most wealthy men in the United States. He had all these American dollars that you could ever desire. But yet he was diagnosed with cancer. And all the American dollars in the world could not heal him from his disease. And all the American dollars in the world could not keep him from dying. And he doesn't have any of those American dollars anymore. And lost people will stand before God and complain that he's dealing with them unjustly. Matthew 25, they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? The implication is, God, you are dealing unjustly with us. Or Matthew 7:22, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? What they're saying is, you are dealing with us unjustly. Well, here's blind Bartimaeus. He's got nothing. He's a beggar. He's blind. He has no means of making a living for himself. And he stands by the side of the road, hoping for the mercy of these passers-by that perhaps they will toss him a coin or two. A blind beggar. But yet this beggar saw his need. And this beggar was crying out for Christ. And this beggar would not be dismissed. Well, a person coming to Christ must come as a beggar, empty and bankrupt. Rich young ruler had all that he needed, and he wasn't willing to part with any of it for Christ. Blind Bartimaeus had nothing. And that's precisely the way we come to Christ. Empty, nothing, nothing in our hand we bring. Simply to the cross we must cling. He came with nothing. His self-righteousness turned to self-abasement. And in our poverty, only then will we thrust ourselves at the foot of the cross and cry out for mercy. Mark 10 is very telling as you look at verses 47 and 48. When Bartimaeus, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was blind. He was a beggar. And then take notice of his high view of Christ. Most people have an opinion of Jesus if they've heard anything of him. And in our country, everyone has heard of Jesus. You would have to search long and hard to find someone who has never, ever heard of Jesus. It would be amazing to find. I can't imagine what I would do if I met someone and I would say, do you know Jesus? And they would say, who? You've never heard of Jesus? No. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. But most people have. But they have different opinions of him. Most people simply dismiss him. They ignore the gospel as being irrelevant to their lives. Others pretend to follow him, but they deny his claim upon their lives. They may become religious. They may join a church as long as it doesn't make demands upon them. But they prove by their lives they're really not willing to forsake their idols. They may see Jesus as an excellent figurehead for the church, but he's not Lord of all. And it's always been the case. But then there are those who come to Jesus as he is. Notice he refers to Jesus as the Son of David. Verse 48, verse 47, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, Son of David is a messianic expression. And this blind beggar was crying out to Jesus as the Son of David. Now, we really shouldn't miss the significance here, and because, first of all, this is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that the expression Son of David is used. But second of all, where in the world did he learn this term, Son of David? Remember in Mark chapter 8, when Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they told him, saying, this is verses 27 through 30 of Mark 8. They told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets, and he continued questioning them, but who do you say that I am? Peter said to him, the messianic expression, you are the Christ. And Jesus warned them to tell no one about him. And then we have to ask ourselves, well, where did Peter get this information from? You are the Christ. Where did he learn it? You know, obviously, this was not being broadcast. Jesus commanded him, don't tell anyone this. But where did he get this information? Well, in Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Well, here comes blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of David. He understands somehow, and obviously he did not have the full understanding we have. He did not have the full revelation of God. It was coming, but it was not yet there. But he did recognize that Jesus was the promised seed, the fulfillment of the covenant of grace and of the Abrahamic covenant. He is the one. And he believed that, and he refers to Jesus as Son of David. Now, perhaps he heard teaching from the synagogue that regarding the Messiah, words like in Isaiah 35, the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. or Psalm 146, verses 7 and 8, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. What we do know is that he referred to Jesus as the Son of David. He might as well said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The amazing thing also is, and this is really stunning, blind Bartimaeus knew this truth. The disciples knew this truth. But by the time they got to Jerusalem, everyone was shouting this. Matthew 21:9, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, he refers to him as the Christ, Son of David. Second of all, he referred to him as Rabboni. Look at verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Now, Rabboni is an Aramaic expression. It normally means teacher, or it can also mean master, though we do not have to insist on that here. Simply teacher is enough, but it has a particular meaning to it, and that is my teacher, not just teacher, my teacher. And so he's looking to Jesus, and he's not simply calling him teacher. He's referring to him as my teacher. Well, others saw Jesus as an excellent teacher. The crowds would gather around him to hear his teaching, to hear what he would have to say. But no one saw him, or few saw him, as their teacher. You catch the distinction. There are many people that see Jesus as a teacher. Is he your teacher? In other words, do you see his words as being significant in your life and you follow them? There are many today that see Jesus as teacher, but not their teacher. And it's evidenced by the lack of time they spend in the Scriptures. If Jesus is my teacher, and he teaches me through this book, then I am interested and concerned about what my teacher has to say to me. And so I spend time in the book. They don't equate Sunday school or preaching with being taught of Christ. When we know that when the Word of God is adequately expounded, Christ is speaking. My teacher, blind Bartimaeus said. To receive Christ is to receive his word and to obey it. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Well, Bartimaeus is saying, in essence, "My teacher, speak, I hear." Well, notice something else too. Notice his commendable persistence. He would not give up. He would not stop crying out. Now, for most people, coming to Christ is really not a high priority. How do you know that? Well, because they don't come. It's not a priority. They have so many other things to do. You bring the gospel to them, it's ho-hum, I have other things to do. So we bring the gospel over and over and over to the young people of our church. And for most, it's not a high priority. There are too many other things to occupy their hearts and their attention. And so for most people, following Christ is not a high priority. They may join a church, but they will not follow Christ. They may give lip service to Christ, but it's always half-hearted. But the one who comes to Christ comes with full heart, full expenditure of energy, with their whole heart. Those who come to Christ truly make it their very highest priority. Now, notice the persistence of Bartimaeus. Verse 48, many were sternly telling him to be quiet. I can only imagine the scene. They're leaving Jericho. There's a huge crowd. I mean, look at verse 46. As he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. And here's poor Bartimaeus, and he's kind of getting lost in the crowd. And he's shouting to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." And the people in the crowd are trying to push him aside. And they are yelling at him, "Quiet, be still, don't bother him, get away." And so they're screaming, says verse 48, many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying, "All the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the expression here, it's just so intense. First of all, the expression "crying out all the more," it's two Greek words. It's really much more, giving intensity to it. And then the word for crying out is a word that literally means to scream. So here's blind Bartimaeus. The crowd is saying, "Stop, be quiet, be still, get away." Blind Bartimaeus, upon hearing their words, does he lose heart? Does he back off? He does not. All the more, he screams at the top of his lungs with all of his energy and the full force of his heart. He begins screaming, "Jesus," or "Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, he was not to be denied. Nothing could stop him from reaching the Master. It's the nature of coming to Christ. Nothing will stop you from entering the kingdom. Thomas Watson said, "Though heaven be given to us freely, yet we must contend for it. The Christian is resolved, come what will, he will have heaven." Now, not reading too much into the text, and there's just so much here, you're tempted to really take every piece and every element to describe coming to Christ. I don't want to read too much into it, but do notice this, that verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, just back up several verses to the rich young ruler. He had many possessions. Jesus says, "Divest yourself of your possessions. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come follow me." This is a poor man. He's a beggar. His cloak was his main piece of clothing. It's what kept him warm at night. He's a beggar. He's a poor man. And he's got this cloak. And the scripture says in verse 50, in other words, he's saying in his heart, "I don't want to be encumbered. Anything that slows me down, I don't want it." And it says, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Well, I think that this surely describes the nature of a man or a woman or a child who comes to Christ. They do not want any hindrance. They will have nothing to slow them down. They will not be restricted. They will not be kept away. They will flee to Christ with their whole heart because their eyes have been opened. Before, they may not have seen their great need. Before, Christ may not have been anything special. Before, their sin did not grip their heart. Before, they didn't see the reality of their condemnation. Before, they saw no great need to see the Creator and serve the Creator and walk with their Creator, no great need for that, and no excellence in the person of Christ. But now, Christ is more precious than anything else upon the face of this earth. Well, this must serve as an admonishment to those who have not trusted Christ. Shall you squander your opportunity to receive Christ? Now, I say this. Here's blind Bartimaeus, living on the outskirts of Jericho. Jesus is passing by one time. Oh, I suppose Bartimaeus could say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I can have someone lead me to Jerusalem, and I will meet up with him then. No, this was his time. This was his opportunity. Christ was there. I will not forsake this opportunity. I will not squander this time. Well, how many people are squandering their time? We don't see the big picture as the problem. Picture eternity. Eternity. You know, from here to here, and it just keeps going. Eternity, which is how long we survive the grave. Eternity. Now, there's a little speck right here. You can't even see it. It's so small. And that's your life in eternity. Your life. And in life, God shows mercy. And it's your time. And it's your opportunity. Will you squander your opportunity? And what will you think in eternity when you're suffering in the fires of hell? And you will look back to that point. And in that point, you will see a gracious God that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. For whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And to squander the opportunity. Well, only in this life will you find mercy. Had Bartimaeus squandered this opportunity, he would have continued in his blindness. Well, one more point. The blessing bestowed. Jesus was moved with compassion upon this blind man. Crowds, multitudes, they're pushing around Jesus. They're all around, multitudes, and this one voice rising up out of the crowd. Jesus heard him. You know, verses 32 and 33. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And as he's traveling, the disciples are amazed at him, and the crowds feared, but the crowd continued to build, which isn't surprising. It's the Passover. And of course, they make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so the crowd is building, and it's moving ahead like a great unstoppable wave. The rush of the masses of people pushing ahead. But now suddenly Jesus stops in his tracks. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stopped. And when he stopped, they stopped. Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they obeyed. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Well, at one moment, they're rebuking the man, telling him to be still. The next moment, by the authority of Christ, they're calling him, take courage. He's calling you. Jesus hears those who cry out to him. He always has. He always will. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to him. And in spite of the huge crowd, in spite of the push, and everything was moving forward, suddenly he stopped, they stopped. It's almost like the whole world stopped. And Jesus says, call him to me. When a man or a woman or a child cries out to Jesus, he hears them. He always has. He always will. Blind Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, and he found mercy. And he was healed of his physical blindness, but he was healed of much more. Because look at the text again. He cries out to Jesus, "My teacher, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, it's a double healing. Immediately, he regained his sight, and he began following him on the road. You remember the rich young ruler? Jesus says, "Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." The poor, blind Bartimaeus, he says, "Have mercy on me." Suddenly, he's not blind anymore. We don't know how long he had been blind, probably from birth, living in a world of darkness. And all of a sudden, it simply says, immediately, he regained his sight. And immediately, he was born again. And he began following Christ. When Jesus opens a man's eyes, the man follows Christ. And that's the glory of salvation. Question is, are you a follower of Christ? Jesus asked a very simple question of the man. He simply says, verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you should answer that question as well. Jesus asks every human being, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the poor blind sinner says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "And he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Turn to Christ and be saved. What would you have Jesus to do for you? Simply cry out, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we see this blind man, Bartimaeus, we've heard of him so many times, but what an example to us of a man who's coming to faith in Christ. And he would not be turned away, and he would not be discouraged, and he would not be prohibited from coming, crying out, "Have mercy on me." And we thank you, Father, that you are a merciful God. And for all who cry out to you for mercy, they find it. And so I pray, O God, that we would continue with this message to go to the masses, to go to the multitudes who have not heard, and continue to share the good news of Christ. And I pray that you would have mercy upon a multitude in opening blind eyes and revealing unto them their true need. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.